Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 14th day of April, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, who is the real Q? And we dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Notice I did not say Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru Ambith. Callers are welcome, but we do ask that you keep comments and or questions as short as possible. And I also want to remind you, we are in the question and answer mode for this platform. Our website, where we have a schedule of upcoming calls, we also have archives of past programs and a lot of health information, news items, etc. The website is Pastor Dan, and that's all together, PastorDan.net. Pretty simple, huh? We give a shout-out to our folks up there through Cigar Jimmy, who used to be Bank versus UTV out of Tampa, and his audience. So welcome, everybody, to the program. We got a new word we're going to, much like Rhadamanthine is not talked about very much, and we understand why, because Rhadamanthine means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. And it's not used, you don't hear it, because it doesn't apply to anybody in this world today, if you can think about it, especially those in religious circles, government, education, the major institutions, the doctors, the medical mafia, etc., big pharma and all that, okay, are they Rhadamanthine in their behavior? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. A couple quotes and some Bible verse, and then we'll get into the topic of who is the real Q here. Now, Romans 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for the good for those who love Yahweh God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Okay, so a lot of things happen to people out there. You go, well, if there's really a God, why did such and such get this or such and such get that? Well, okay, well, first of all, were they called to His purpose? And did they love the Father? Now, again, I know people have had bad things, at least the way we look at it, bad things happen to them. And they were good people. They were lovers of Yahweh. And obviously called. But then so were some of the prophets and some of the disciples, okay? And bad things, according to historical documents anyway, bad things happened to them. But we have to remember that we look at it as a bad thing, and yet it may have served a purpose in Father's plan. Remember Logos, which is how the Greeks pronounce it. The American dictionaries call it Logos, but the Greeks pronounced it as Logos. Logos is where we get the word logic, okay? And it's translated as the word many, many times. And it does refer in Greek to the spoken word, but in the sense that for us to speak words in our languages requires logic or thought, intellectual thought. And so it applies there, but it also applies to a plan. When you set about a plan, like a battle plan against an enemy, or a plan to build a large structure, let's say, or a plan to move from point A to point B, that's the same word, logos, in the Greek language. So you have to take the context. Is it talking about the spoken word, or is it talking about a plan? So many times in the word, meaning the scriptures, when we see the word, as when it talks about the word was God, was with God, and was God, etc., that could easily have been the plan, was with Him from the beginning. And He is the plan. Not just the spoken word, not just the intellectual logic behind what is said, but the plan, okay? We're all part of a plan, and it's coming to fruition real soon. So keep that in mind. Also, this quote by Thomas Watson Sr. is very good, and we need to be applying this when we're talking about those who are in leadership positions among us. Nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as to what he does from day to day to lead himself. This gets back to what the Founding Fathers said, and it's a biblical principle as well, that you elect your leaders from the best, not the worst, the best. That's a commandment, okay? It's not a suggestion. And we've failed at that. We have not allowed only the best of our people to hold office, to be in a position of governing us. And that's why we have this complete idiocy that's going on around us. And folks, I'm telling you, I field calls and emails and notes and texts and stuff all day long of people who are absolutely disgusted with what's going on. What's coming across the airwaves as far as television programming, here we go with that programming, predictive programming, neuro-linguistic programming is another form that they use. We're being manipulated. I just watched a video by Seething Frog, who said that it's all a psyop. I think he put it out either late yesterday or today, but Seething Frog, S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G, Seething, as in a boiling pot of water, Seething Frog. And that's what we are. We're frogs pretty much cooked. We're pretty close to being cooked in that pot of boiling water. Everything is psyop, and that's the basis for today's program. I'm coming into focus on the same conclusion that we're being played. Now, interestingly enough, he brought up something we've talked about on this show for quite some time. It is quite common for the enemy to pretend to resist what they actually want you to go for, much like just over 100 years ago when the Federal Reserve Act, and it was called something different, I don't have those written down, it had a different sponsor, a different name, and the bankers were all for it. And this was in the late 1800s. And naturally, the Supreme Court voted it as unconstitutional. The people pissed and moaned and said, no, no way do we want a central bank. Andrew Jackson destroyed the central bank. Many of our other, Thomas Jefferson, many of the best of our men often talked about the fact that we do not want central banks. They're a bane to all civilization. They're evil. Centralized banking is evil from top to bottom. And so he fought that. Okay, so what happened was they waited a few years. They changed a few paragraphs, but it was basically the same bill going to do the same thing. And this time they called it the Federal Reserve Act to give the impression that it was part of the government and that it was somehow a reserve. They touted it that it was going to keep the boom and bust cycles of the economy out and be like a shock absorber on your car. And the bankers came out and protested it. Now, who are the bankers? Yeah, Zionist Talmud thumpers. So they changed their tactic. So here we are, slightly over 100 years later, and they're using the exact same tactic. Trump and the whole white hat Q thing is nothing more than a psyop to get us, as Jay from downtown white police says, to get us to lay down our weapons, to stop organizing, stop coming together because we have a savior in the form of Donald Trump and his regime. But, you know, when you take the mask off, if you take the blinders off, what the hell is Trump, okay, and his so-called regime? Mike Pompeo? John Bolton? What's the latest one he sent down there? Elliot Abrams? These are all criminals. These are Zionist hitmen. Steve Mnuchin? What the hell? And, you know, so here again, it's a psyop being played on us, much like they did 100 years ago with the Federal Reserve and income tax with the IRS. That was all ruse. A psyop to do nothing but harm to we the people. And it's happening again. Everything you read in Scripture says that who's our Savior? Well, Yahweh. So unless you're going to tell me that Donald Trump has an anointing, no, I don't see it. Because first of all, playing 5D chess is deception. Now, Yahweh does not deceive his own. When he spoke in parables when he was here 2,000 years ago, he spoke in parables to his disciples, to his family members, because he did not want the Talmud thumpers and their cohorts to understand what was being discussed. But to the initiated, the anointed, to those consecrated to himself, his family, he spoke in plain words. And this guy Trump isn't speaking plain to anybody. He's given signals to the rest of the cabal in some of the things he says. He does enough to give some credence to this, quote, Q phenomenon. But when you get right down to it, no, it's not. Okay, it's all psyop, it's kabuki theater, basically a show, and Q has even told you that, which is ironic. Q said, be careful of the misinformation, of course he's talking about himself, whatever Q is, okay? They said there would be a lot of misinformation, okay, well that should be a clue. Why do you have to misinform us? We've been misinformed for centuries. As long as there's been a mainstream media, we've been misinformed. They've used the radio, then the television, and always printed material to propagandize us. Again, kabuki theater. One of the elitists at one time said, all things in politics are on purpose. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing. The Trump phenomenon was the fact that the people behind him understood that the American people were near revolution, armed revolution in this country. Hit the big reset button and start all over again. They knew that. They knew that. And that's why they allowed Trump to say what he said just to test the waters. And when they found out there was a huge number of Americans willing to back somebody completely outside of their circle, at least on the surface, with his rhetoric, they understood where our mental state was and where we were. And as the true deceivers that they are, they went ahead and formed a plan, okay? They're diabolical and they're evil to the max, but they're not completely stupid. Okay, so Trump comes along, tells us what we want to hear, everybody jumps on board, and everybody's going back to sleep because we have white hats going to save the day. Well, here we are. Over 2 years later, nothing's changed. The worst criminals to ever operate within our government and in the borders of the United States still walk free. Some low-level people have been harassed and pretended to be either executed or arrested and whatever. But do you have any proof of any of that? Do you ever go to the movie theater and see what they can create on a screen? Okay? And you think it's real. Okay? That's why the government, from the beginning, including NASA, has hired a lot of Disney movie producers on their staffs. Why would you do that? Why would you hire people whose main objective is to create things from fantasy and get an audience to believe it's real? Oh, if they're going to perform kabuki theater on you and convince you that something is real when it's not. You don't have a white hat army out there. You don't have a savior in Trump. You have a savior. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos, Jesus the Christ. There's your savior. And Yahweh the Father. Okay? That's it. Now, if that's not true, I want somebody to point it out in Scripture where it says that a government of men will come in and save the day. Somebody point that out. Because there's a description of godly government in Romans, I believe it's chapter 13, but it's also in other areas, where they discuss what godly government is and that we are to give allegiance and obey the authorities. And this is what the false church, churchianity, the whitewashed sepulchers out there full of dead men's bones, known as the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, all the rest of them, all whores daughters of the great whore, the Roman Catholic Church, all by deception. So, again, we are being misled. The church world is going along with it, and it's all kabuki theater. Okay, it's all kabuki theater. Now, I was sent early this morning, somebody found a word, and this word is very much like rhadamanthine. You don't hear it ever talked about, and now when I read you the definition, you'll see why they don't want you using it. Why even the good guys, supposedly in the truth movement, have not talked about this word. So if you have your pens and pencils, you might want to save this and put it out on email to all the different channels, whether it's BitChute, YouTube, DLive, by the way, capital D, Live is another platform that's been started up to give competition to YouTube, which is completely controlled. But this word is kakistocracy. Okay, now we've heard about an oligarchy, so at least they're getting closer in the sense that an oligarchy is very similar to a dictatorship, but the power is in a group rather than a single individual. So dictatorship is a single individual, where oligarchy is a group of people who are doing basically the same thing. Okay? Gary put in here Obadiah 1:28, and Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yahweh's. Yeah, the Saviors are going to be Yahweh's people, led by Yahweh himself. It's not going to be this kabuki theater we see going on right now. So you're putting your faith into an idol, a false god. And it's a shame, but that's what's going on. So anyway, we have this word, kakistocracy. Now, kakis is from the Greek, which means very bad. Okay? So it's a Greek word, and tocracy, of course, comes from the same thing that democracy and different words like that. It's basically to govern, to have control or govern. So kakistocracy is from the Greek, a combined word meaning bad government. Okay, so here's the definition that was sent to me. This is hilarious. Tell me if this doesn't apply. Kakistocracy. Hold on a minute. I want to send this word to those on the group here with us this morning, so they can look at it as well. Kakistocracy is defined as governance by the worst elements of society, who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. Is that not our government? Now, the Free Dictionary, which is an online dictionary, simply put it as government by the least qualified or most unprincipled citizens. And in the case of Barack Obama, he wasn't even a citizen. He's an interloper. The least qualified and most unprincipled citizens. Now, if you look up this kakistocracy, okay, you look it up, and it's the very definition of the people the founding fathers told you never to allow anywhere near a position of power. Okay, that's what your founding fathers told you just over 200 years ago. That's not that long, 200 years. 2,000 years ago and longer, the prophets told you through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you hire the best of your men to be your leaders. And you never allow people such as this definition talk about, unqualified or unprincipled people, even of your own race. But Leviticus and Deuteronomy make it very clear that only your own race can be in government over you. Only your own race. So Washington, D.C. is completely illegitimate. 1,000% illegitimate. Meaning that we should walk away from it. Washington, D.C. should have no power over us whatsoever. They are outlaws. The Constitution of the United States is still in effect. And as such, they are outlaws. I was just reading a definition, a second definition sent in here. Oh, okay. It's pretty much in agreement. It goes into a little bit more detail. But again, Washington, D.C. has lost all authority, all right to be there. They are traitors. Everybody in Washington, including Department of Justice and the Alphabet Soup gangs, if they swear an oath, first of all, some of them are holding their offices without swearing an oath on the Bible, which is the only legitimate book to put their hand upon. Not a Torah, not a Talmud, not a Quran. That as soon as they want that book to put their hand on, they've identified themselves as a traitor, okay? They are illegitimate. Only on a Bible, swearing to uphold the Constitution. If they have not done that, then they are spies and should be treated as spies. Okay? We all know what happens to spies. If they did take it, then they violated it, and they are also traitors. So everybody in Washington is a traitor, one way or the other. They either, and judges, and I'm not talking only about Washington, D.C., I'm talking about the state capitals and the state courthouses, the state Supreme Court, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't care what level it is. If you're holding a position of trust in this country, you were to have sworn an oath. That's the only reason we let you in there. You see, we the people are the real Q. That was the point I'm trying to make. We are the Q. The millions and millions and millions of veterans, red-blooded American men and women who stood up and said, I'm tired of the same old BS going on. It was a big enough number, it had them scared for a little bit, and then they came up with the plan to put Trump in there to placate the rabble. And this whole Q thing, and then pretended that they dislike it. Again, that's a ruse. The enemy's doing that. Well, if Q's not for real, why do the mainstream media go against it? Because it's part of the plan, folks. It's part of the plan. Their plan, not our plan, but their plan is just like the Federal Reserve Act 100 years ago. Oh, they caught on to us, so we got to change tactics. Oh, we don't want that Federal Reserve. Oh, that'll be harmful to us bankers. Really? Huh, so we voted in the Federal Reserve and the IRS. How did that work out for us? You want to write in and tell me? And by the way, for my close friends out there that have my cell phone number, I don't carry my cell phone anymore. So if you're trying to reach me with a message, don't do it. Either put it in the blog window if you're on your computer listening, or send an email to BYD, which stands, of course, for By Yahweh's Design, BYD Pastor Dan, all together, at yahoo.com, and I'll get it there. But don't send me a text or whatever about something, either the sound quality or a troll or whatever, because I'm not going to see it. I stopped carrying that willing tracking device and listening device around on my hip, okay? I didn't carry it that much before anyway, but I certainly did carry it around and kept it close by, whatever. Now I don't. I treat it like a landline. And a lot of people say, well, it's inconvenient. Okay, is the phone for your convenience or mine? Somebody, again, remind me, send it in. I thought the phone was for my convenience. Okay, it's no longer convenient to know that the NSA or the Operation Talpiot folks over in Israel can turn it on and listen or watch whatever. And he can't. No, I'm not going to voluntarily do that. You see what I'm saying? They're already listening in and tracking everything. I'll be damned if I'm going to allow them use of my phone information to know where I go and everything else. So I just leave it set. You see what I'm saying? It's just like Google Maps. Were you informed that Google Maps uses your cell phone traveling down the highway to let the people know when they go to Google Maps what the traffic situation is? Did you know that? They're tracking your location on the highways, your speed, location, etc. That's how they provide the information on Google Maps. and on MapQuest and all these different programs. They're sharing your personal information. Now you say, well, Dan, that's a convenience. Okay, yeah, the road to hell was paved with convenience. Yeah, it's convenient, all right, but why weren't we told about it? Why weren't we given a stipend for it? They're making money off of it. You think all those businesses and all are getting their advertisement on your cell phone for free? They're paying for that as you travel down the highway. Did you ever notice that local establishments pop up as suggestions? Okay, were you given, did you give consent for that? Now, they'll say buried deep within the terms of service that you agreed to all this nonsense. Well, that's just lawyerese. Okay, did you actually know? Did somebody sit down and say, you know, we're going to sell all your personal data as part of marketing schemes? Now, this same data is being harvested by our arch enemy over there in Itzalai, or Israel, and they're not doing it for marketing purposes. They're doing it for tracking purposes and to create a personal credit score. Now, you have a financial credit score, but you're also being set up for a personal credit score, much like the Chinese are going through in the large cities over in China right now. Facial recognition, and you're being judged by the people around you. Now, who would benefit from people making judgment calls on you? Let's see. Who were the people that had the group agree that the crucifixion of the Christ, who never broke a law, the most honest and sincere mortal man to ever walk this earth, Yahshua HaMashiach, okay, they convinced the crowd that he needed to die while a murderer, a known murderer, named Barabbas, was to be set free. Who convinced the mob of this idiocracy? The Jews. That's why Christ, in all of Scripture, Christ never said a good thing about Jews. Did you ever ask yourself why? You know, here's how they get you to not even think about that, because they pound the lie that Abraham was a Jew, Isaac and Jacob were Jews, and Christ was a Jew, and David was a Jew. They get you to believe that line of BS. So you don't, they understand how the brain works, okay? This is why the Jews are at the top of psychology and psychiatry, because they love to get in and figure out what makes your brain tick. For your benefit? Oh, hell no. It's for exactly what's going on today. PSYOPs, psychological operations. Okay? Right there in the name, it tells you everything, right? So they're doing PSYOPs on you constantly. They're harvesting all this information to categorize you. And then they try to get the legislators, who we've already said are part of a cacistocracy. They're the worst of mankind in Washington and our state capitals most of the time. The worst. They're not the best. They're the worst. And so they'll do whatever these Talmud thumpers tell them to do. That's why they're coming out with the nonsense that if you support the BDS movement, which is boycott, divest, and sanction Israel for their murdering of the Palestinians, which is an atrocity, if you support that, you will get no government contracts. And, of course, with our bloated government bureaucracy today, that's a lot of people that are no longer going to have access to these digital wealth that the Mnuchin types and the Greenspan types have created. Cryptocurrency. You already have a cryptocurrency. It's called the digital dollar. Okay, people say, well, you're already in a cryptocracy. You're already in cryptocurrency. Do you actually get cash? When you buy a house, did you see any cash on the table? It's a ledger entry. You're living it. Wake the hell up, people. It's all a great big psyop. It's kabuki theater. Why? Because they don't want you to realize that your only hope is in the living God. Okay? They don't want you to realize that true faith and allegiance to Yahweh our King is where your salvation lies. All right? They don't want you to think about that. They want you to always, just like our ancestors, they fell for the same line of crap They want you to think a king or a potentate or a magistrate is somehow going to save the day. Really? Well, if you were smart enough to elect a beneficial monarch, you do have the most efficient form of government ever created. A beneficial monarchy. Hands down, every scholar will agree. That is the best and most efficient government you could possibly have. An elected beneficial monarch, okay? And people out there go, well, Dan, we fought the war to stop a monarchy. I'll be damned if I'm going to be run by a king. Well, you got an oligarchy in Washington doing far worse than King George ever did. So that shows your hypocrisy. And number two, how do you think Christ is coming, the anointed, the second time? Okay? Yeah, a beneficial monarchy. That's exactly. Everything that Scripture talks about the Christ is a beneficial monarchy. Come on, put your thinking caps on, folks, for a change. Put your thinking, a beneficial monarch, get it? That's it, come on. Use that predictive programming for the good for a change and keep telling yourself, beneficial monarchy. This is why the Talmud thumpers hate monarchies, especially the defenders of the faith monarchies that all the monarchs of Europe were elected and they were crowned as defenders of the faith. That was the purpose of the monarchy. It wasn't to be a dictator over the people. He was to be the commander-in-chief in the defense of the faith, which also means the defense of the race. Now you know why they hate the monarchies. And as soon as the monarchy started falling apart or they intermarried with the Talmud thumpers, which destroyed defenders of the faith because now they became interlopers and actually Zionists, they destroyed it. And look at Europe today. It's in tatters. They can't even defend their own borders. And now it's happening here. The very people who founded this great nation and built all the civilization you see all around you are being denigrated in the press every day. White men, especially white men of faith. They're trying to convince you that they are the lowest of low. I dedicated this program to those very people 19 and a half years ago. That's what this program is dedicated to, the white man of faith, because we are his elect. We are the members of the Ezekiel 37 army. Whether you like it or not, that's who you are. You're part of that army. When that army decides that we've had enough of this BS that we see going on around us, we can change things. It will never be changed by those who are not of our faith and not of our race. Never. In 1,000 years, it's not going to get any better, folks. So for you people out there pissing and moaning about how terrible things are, and trust me, I hear about it every day. Yeah, it is terrible. I agree. It's sickening, actually. But you're putting your faith in a false god. You are committing idolatry. Little g government is an idol. Putting a man up on a pedestal is creating an idol, especially if you're not 100% sure he is consecrated or anointed. It tells us of the second coming of Christ, but do you know that the word Christ comes from Christos in the Greek language? And Christos means exactly the same thing as the ancient Hebrew Messiah. That's our language, by the way. Ancient Hebrew is the language of the Aryan Celts. It's the mother language of all Indo-European languages. All of them. Greek, Latin, the modern languages all go back to the Phoenician Hebrew, Paleo Hebrew. That's our word. That's our language. So he's called Messiah or Christos, in your Bibles the Christ. That's not a title, or I should say that's not a name. Okay, there's nobody going to come down from the heavens and land on a platform somewhere and the whole world's going to be witnessing and he's going to go, hey, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm Yahshua, the anointed. My last name is Christ, so hey, look over here. Said there'd be a lot of false Christs. What's that mean? There'd be a lot of false hope, a lot of people giving false hope that they can be a, quote, savior. Okay? Anointed. Anointed by who, though? Satan? Or Yahweh God? There's a lot of different anointings. Anointing just means to be, in fact, here, let me give you the dictionary definition. Okay? To anoint. It's a, to apply oil, ointment, or a similar substance. So the very word itself in the Greek and the Hebrew has the connotation of rubbing oil, typically castor oil or olive oil. Those are both. In fact, castor oil's name means palm of Christ, and that is a extremely medicinal oil. Castor oil is amazing, and you can actually drink it. I wouldn't drink an 8-ounce glass of it, but you could put a dropper full under your tongue. You don't even taste it. You can put it on your eyes. You can put it on your skin and help clear it up, moisturize and clear up the bad stuff. It's amazing what castor oil will do. So you rub it, your head. You anoint the head with what? These oils. What do these oils do? They absorb into the skin. The skin at the scalp is extremely thin. Anything you rub into your head is going to get into the bloodstream very, very quickly. So you're anointed. What is that a symbol of? It's the symbol of Yahweh's Spirit entering your body and taking control, bringing a blessing of healing and comfort and joy. Confidence in our King. That's what anointing is. Is there only one anointed? Is there only one Yahshua HaMashiach? That's what it means. Joshua the Anointed in English. His name was never Jesus. That's a bastardization of the Greek word for Joshua, Jesus. So Joshua was actually his name. Were there lots of Joshuas in his day? Yeah. Yeah, a lot of our ancestors, our Hebrew ancestors, named their children Joshua. It means Yahweh save, because they pronounced it as Yahshua. And today in English it would be Joshua. Okay, it means salvation is of Yahweh or Yahweh saves. Okay, so it was a popular name. And so the HaMashiach was put on the end of it to be the anointed Joshua. He had a special anointing. An anointing, again, is to apply the oil. Number two, to put oil on during a religious ceremony as a sign of sanctification or consecration. And number three, to choose by or as if by divine intervention. That's what an anointing is. And consecration means dedicated to a sacred purpose. That's what consecrate, to be consecrated, is. Dedicated to a sacred purpose. Are you taking notes? Okay? Because I don't think our people are looking for the second coming. You're all assuming that there's going to be fireworks. You're all assuming that a great big gigantic loudspeaker that everybody on earth is going to be able to hear is going to announce his coming. I propose to you that that's not true. I propose that his second coming would be very similar to his first coming. Remember, some of his own family thought he was nuts. Some of the people in the village where he was born thought he was loco. They thought he was very strange at the age of 12 years old to be in the temple speaking with authority. Oh, wait a minute. Is that possibly a sign? The sign of a true, not a fake, but a true anointing. Speaking with authority. Are we looking for such a person? Are we looking for something like that? No. I hardly hear anybody talk about it at all. So why aren't you? Again, you think cannons and fireworks and loudspeakers and rockets are going to go off and great big platform with TV cameras that go to the entire earth. They're going to be pointed at him. He's going to go, "Here I am." Or do you think, like the first time around, possibly the Father is going to expect his children to recognize him by his speech and his words? Have you thought about that? Like I said, who is the real Q? The real Q is the people behind the Trump movement, or where we go one, we go all. Those people, those down-to-earth, red-blooded, middle-class Americans who love truth, justice, and honesty, they're the real Q. Not this psyop off of 8chan, not this kabuki theater in Washington, D.C. with the major media all pretending to hate Trump, and it's all to get you to look at Trump as a victim, to turn off your investigation. Look, my enemy hates him, so therefore he must be a good guy. Well, isn't that an easy way to fool you? Look, we put Trump out there. We got enough dirt on him that we can control him. He's definitely done enough stuff. He's a multi-billionaire. He's borrowed all kinds of money from Jews. His father was in tight with the Jews, even built them a synagogue in New York. I mean, come on, folks. His daughter's married to a Mossad officer, undercover, of course. Okay? So he's got Talmud all over him. But he does know enough on how to speak the right words to get you to think he's one of us. And the enemy, of course, turns on him, knowing full well how the psychology of that will be with you, in that you're going to sit there and think, well, this poor guy, he's doing so good and he's trying so hard. Really? 2.5 years later, you're in the most powerful position in American government that we know of, that we're aware of, and you can't even protect our border? You can't even round up the illegals and ship them the hell out of here and shut down, put a moratorium on all immigration. All immigration. We got far too many here. We need to shut the borders off completely and start rounding up the illegals. They don't belong here. And we need to remove from power all of those who do not fit the qualifications that the Founding Fathers established. So complete morons like Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Adam Schiff, the kike, these people are complete retards. All right, just listen to them talk sometime. AOC, Alexandra, Ocasio-Cortez, complete morons. As soon as they open their mouth, they're a laughingstock to the world. What do you think they think of us by allowing misfits like this into our government and then acting like there's nothing we can do about it? Okay? That's the sad part. They've got us convinced that we can't do anything about this. Again, the real Q needs to get off their ass. That's you and me, folks. We're the real Q. Not the 8chan psyop, not the kabuki theater out of the White House, and all this other BS. We need to walk away from it. There's several excellent YouTube channels talking about this very thing right now. Florida Maquis is one. John Mark is another. Curtis Doolittle and his propertarianism are talking about it. E. Michael Jones, a PhD, is talking about it. Misha Popov, that was our guest a few weeks ago, excellent interview with Misha. Formerly from Russia, his family moved here in the early 1900s. Excellent interview. If you haven't listened to my interview with Misha, go to the archives for 2019 and listen to what Misha told us about the Bolsheviks and his experience within his own family. Okay? Go read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's 200 Years Among Us or With Us, which is the history of the Jews in Russia, and the fact that they were the revolutionaries. It wasn't a Russian revolution. It was a Bolshevik revolution. Okay? Bolshevik. The point I'm trying to get across to you is two things. One, stop making Washington, D.C., this QAnon, and Trump into a false idol. Because that's what we're doing. Okay? Scripture makes it very, very clear that Yahweh is a jealous God. He said, I will not give my glory, my honor to any other. Okay, when we honor a man-made institution called government as if it's our savior and the answer to our problems, we've taken the honor and glory that belongs to him and we've given it to a false idol. That's exactly what we've done. And we're worshiping it. What does worship mean? Well, go look at the root words and do a little study. You'll find out it's who do you fear? Who do you revere? And people today revere government. They don't revere the living God. They don't think he has power at all. You don't. Because if you did, you would fear him more than you do these clowns in three-piece suits that call themselves government. They're just fancy, doctored-up trolls making a mockery of true justice and laughing all the way to the synagogue and to the bank to put more shekels in their pocket. Okay? They're laughing at us because we're so easy to manipulate. And why are we easy to manipulate? Because we don't want to repent and come back to the living God. We don't want to repent and come back to the Father. That's it. In a nutshell, we want to be gods unto ourselves, much as Adam and Eve committed that great sin in the garden. Okay? That's just the way it is. We want to make our own rules. We want to be gods unto ourselves. We want to determine what's right and wrong. Well, how did that work out for Adam and Eve? Okay, they went from being immortal, no tears, no pain, no suffering, to what we have today. And then the Israelites later on became even stupider and said, give us an earthly king. They actually had Yahweh guide them. And through the priests of that day, and pillar of fire by night and pillar of cloud by day, they were being guided. Miracles were performed right in front of them. And yet they still chose, well, yeah, but we can't bribe you. We can't deceive you. So there were criminals amongst our own people even back then. Give us an earthly king because he can be bought or manipulated. Okay? That's why the Talmudists hate the Christian monarchies. It's very difficult to take over a country that has a homogenous population and at the top of their defender of the faith sits a righteous white man. Difficult to penetrate. Parliaments? Easy. Take a look at England today. Doesn't even come close to resembling a body that represents white British people. They're interlopers and traitors as well. And now, even in America, we have three branches of government. They're all corrupted. All corrupted. Supreme Court is all Jews, whether it's outright Talmud thumpers or Jesuits of the Catholic Church. That's still the same thing. Two sides of the same coin. It's still Talmudists sitting at the Supreme Court. And yet the average white person walks around like we care what the Supreme Court says. First of all, it's an appellate court. It can't dictate law. But the average American is so dumbed down, he doesn't understand how it's supposed to work. Not even close. And I'm not an expert in it, but I can tell you it's not working the way it was designed. First of all, you're supposed to put righteous men of faith, meaning the Christian faith, men at the Supreme Court. I can't remember, certainly not in my lifetime, and probably even my grandparents' lifetime, if we had righteous white Christian men sitting on the Supreme Court. Okay, and ladies, again, sometimes you get offended. Most of the listeners who are female do not get offended, but if it does offend you, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. You ladies, you don't belong on the Supreme Court. You don't belong in government at all, and you don't belong in manufacturing. You don't belong in corporatocracy. In fact, corporations don't belong. Okay, corporations should be outlawed. It's a fiction. It's just a form for a Jew to get out of being liable because he's going to sell you something that will harm you. That's really what it boils down to. The whole invention of corporations and mega corporations is to shed liability for inferior service or product. That's what it's for. What is the proper way to look at that from a man of faith's position? Everybody's responsible. You can't create a fiction to get you out of responsibility. Where in the Bible does it say I'm given the authority to create a fiction to get out of of liability? No, never. If you create a drug and it causes harm, then the creator of that drug should be hauled in front of a open court where a referee, not a judge, scrap the whole judge system. There is no such thing as a judge. What is that person's real duty is to be a referee. Okay? Referee only. And then the accused and the accuser can come in and they can have anybody counsel them they want. Screw the lawyers. Personally, I think they should be hunted down and jailed as criminals because I'll guarantee you probably 99% of them have committed crimes. Obfuscated truth, obfuscated evidence of that would have gotten somebody off. But they're all about the victories, okay? It's all kabuki theater now, including the courts and the lawyers. So the true Christian court would be just an area where the accused meets the accuser. Both sides get to present their evidence to a jury of 12 men of upstanding character from the community. And the referee just keeps order in the court. He's like a chairman for a meeting, okay? It doesn't make him a god. It doesn't make him able to tell the jury what to decide, which our judges today do. Okay? So if we had courtrooms like that, we'd see some real justice, all right? But again, where did the number 12 for the jury come from? The 12 tribes. 12 is almost a sacred number in that regard. And we got a question from Bank versus UTV audience. It says, what about women that just liked to work, though? I had to work. Oh, I understand that. Okay, we're talking. Everything in this world today is upside down, all right? Everything. It's exactly what the book said. Good would be called evil. Evil would be called good. I remember when women first started going into the workforce. When I was a boy in the 1950s, very few women worked. There were a few divorcees. There wasn't much divorce back then either. My aunt was divorced, and she worked in a shirt factory not far from where I grew up. She was one of the very few women in the family that actually had a job. And that's because the ex-husband was sort of a dirtbag and he did not support her. Now, was it the right thing to do? For her at that time, it's the only choice she had because nobody else in the family wanted to take care of her needs. And so she took a job. At least that's what, as a boy, I remember. And it's gotten worse since then because the Jews, the Talmud thumpers, have infiltrated this society and they wanted to cut wages and increase taxes. What better way to do it than double the workforce by getting women to leave home? So they denigrated the idea of the wife doing her wifely duties, running a proper home, taking care of the children, preparing good food, cleanliness of the home, support of the husband because he represents the family, the biblical concept, okay? We've destroyed that. So now it's helter-skelter, and that's why you can't blame people for the situation they're in today, and that's not what we're trying to do here with the program. What we're trying to do is get it into people's minds of the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. Just as we talked with the people of propertarianism, all right? A biblically based monarchy would not impose a restriction on a woman if she wants to have a job. We're not evil. We're just trying to get God's way. Okay? The point of it is, ladies, in Yahweh's system, your job is probably one of the most important jobs on earth, and that's to raise the next generation of our kind. How can there be anything more important than that? And I'm going to tell you, I watched family where the women tried to hold down a job and raise the children and run the household. My daughter being one, she's a registered nurse, it pretty near drove her crazy. And in personal conversations, she admitted to me that It was very difficult because we got on the subject of the multiple marriages or the patriarchal family, and she agreed that she could see a logic to that because she could use help. Because doing all of those chores by herself was very, very tiring and created a lot of anxiety. It's a big job. And the bigger the family, the more work, the more jobs, the more hands. My mom used to have a saying, many hands make light work. That's why when it came time to work out in the garden, to weed the garden, or to harvest some of the fruit, she would call my brother, sister, and I over and say, grab a bucket, you're coming to the garden with me. Okay, we were old enough to know what the weeds looked like versus the plants. We were old enough to know, handle gasoline and take a little tin cup full of gasoline and flick the little Japanese beetles into the gasoline to kill them because they were eating our plants. It didn't hurt us. So again, the concept is all built around the family. Well, today we don't give credence to the family unit at all. So the predictive programmers, the magicians or the deceivers, which is what Nakash means in the Hebrew, which was the same person that seduced Eve, the Nakash is still working today. It's an enchanter or a deceiver. Okay? The enchanters, through these black boxes called the images of the beast, meaning images controlled by the beast, have convinced you family doesn't mean anything. Family is just a term for a house with people living in it. That's a family. Well, that's not a family. A family has a husband who provides and protects as a king. He's the king of his household. That's the way it's supposed to be. And a man is supposed to be the best he can be, not the worst, the best. Always studying to show himself approved, always trying to make himself a better man through education and fitness and sobriety. Those are the hallmarks of a real man. Not what we have parading around today with guys walking around the street with blue jeans around the crack of their ass or a bun on top of their head, little soy boys. Okay? That's not the sign of a man. A man takes his job responsibly. He's a provider. He's a protector. He's a soldier. He's a warrior who will fight to the death to protect his family, knowing that if he dies, other members of the community will pick up the ball and run with it as far as taking care of his family. It's a sacred duty that we owe to each of us. Jimmy just put in here, I see it in my feral cats. The males are standing guard while mama is feeding the kittens. I think all critters do the same. Yeah, and I've noticed that cats in the neighborhood, when it's time to feed the kittens, will come over and rub themselves on my legs and everything else because there are no male cats. They're expecting me to do that job, stand by and guard while they're eating or feeding the kittens. You see, you can ignore the truth, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. If you would take your blinders off and take the propaganda that the mainstream is pumping into your head, and just take a look at nature. Okay? Just take a look at nature. It will tell you pretty much everything you need to know. These are our Heavenly Father created this earth. And that's another thing that you're going to find out. It's not even close to true, what you've been told about this earth. The history of it, its age, its shape. You've been lied to about so many things. It is mind-numbing. And certainly the family is one of them, okay? You have been led down the primrose path to allow the enemy to control your children. They now have control of your child from the time it's conceived. It used to be they didn't get their paws on them until they were 6 years old and in grade school. Now you've got kindergarten, preschool, and now even in the womb, Big Brother claims to have authority over your children. That's how bad it's gotten. We got a caller from Miami, John. John, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Commander Dan. Good morning to all. And good morning to all Israelites around the world that are listening to this program. Commander Dan, I just heard you say about the kind of young men or men that are wearing their jeans so tight and they got their hair crop top at the top. And I see that almost every day when I'm working out here. Anyhow, tattoos. I've noticed more and more and more of young men and women, young women, that are there putting on tattoos in different parts of their bodies, I can tell. And I've noticed so much of that tattoos amongst many, many young Latinos or even the Cubans down here, thinking that they're so macho and that all kinds of people will like it. And it's even inside the police and sheriff's departments, you'll see police, well, down here, even here with tattoos on them. And many of them are Latino, Cubans, and everything. And why is this being done? I mean, we were told not to put any paint on our bodies, or is that normal or not, or is that an acceptable way of living? I don't have tattoos, and I don't want them. But do some of our Israelite Christians out there, do they have tattoos? What is your viewpoint on that? I'd like to know, or anyone that can call in, what is their viewpoint on that? There are a lot of good-looking girls out there that have those tattoos, but shoot, I don't want a girl that has a tattoo, and I don't know if I would settle for one or not, really. What is your viewpoint on the tattoo situation? It is spreading. It is growing. And I will get off the telephone right now so you can answer my question or anyone else that will make comments about that, because I'd like to hear some other comments of your listeners about the tattoo thing. There's so much of that going on. I see that almost every day out here. I'm getting off the phone. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Yeah, thank you, John. Yahweh bless, buddy. Good point. Jimmy here says, I have no tats and I despise them. Here's the thing, all right? A lot of people had tattoos done when they were young and impressionable, and certainly the beast system is telling our people that it's a cool thing to get tattoos, and so they're going out and doing it. It's just like the men that are wearing their hair in a bun or putting makeup on. It shows a weak mind. I hate to say this, but that's what it shows, a weak mind. You're easily convinced by the media and society and your peer group. It's a sign of weakness. It really is, that you can fall for this stuff, all right? And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but it's a fact, all right? But you can come out of that weakness, but I'm just telling you that's a sign of weakness. Now, I never fell for the alcohol temptation, the cigarette temptation, or the tattoo temptation for two reasons. One, I attended church with my mother and my siblings almost every Sunday. And back then, at least, the church was performing at least closer to what it should have been doing. And they taught us not to get into all that. Plus, I read the Bible for myself and saw where it said, don't paint your skin or inject dyes into your skin for health reasons, folks, for health reasons. And so that, and I had parents who were extremely strict. So not only did I have a heavenly father telling me not to do it through the word, I had earthly parents who kept a strict eye on us, who told us that if we were to do those things, that there would be dire consequences. And I trusted their saying that. So between those two things, my brother, sister, and I never fell into any of those temptations. And so it's a sign that we've gotten away from the teachings of the word. People today have been told that it's just a comic book, it's just a fakery, and they're completely brainwashed by the image of the beast, the controlling image of the beast. The flat screens, the movies, the celebrities, the sports figures are all idolized by the satanic forces. And so the weak-minded of our people, they fall for it, and they go get them, okay? And it applies to a lot of people. That doesn't mean you can't come out of it, though, okay? Or else Christ, the anointed, is a liar. He said, I can forgive you that. Though your sins be as scarlet, you will be washed white as snow. Well, what is that saying? It's saying, no matter how ugly your life was prior to coming to me, I can wash that all away. You'll be as white as the driven snow. So tattoos, drugs, all of the nefarious things that the enemy gets us to take part in, all of those things are bad, but they're bad for you, health-wise. Okay, you wearing a tattoo doesn't do a damn thing to me, all right? I've actually seen some that are pretty good looking. I would never get one, and I don't recommend them, but I've seen some that were pretty artful, okay? But my first thought is, do you know what that's doing to your body? Do you know what that tattoo is going to look like in 15 years? Nothing like what you see right now. And then when you get up to the age of grandfather or great-grandfather, it really gets ugly. Okay? People think, I actually don't know what they're thinking when they get these things. Okay? They look colorful and beautiful with sharp detail and everything else, but over a period of decades, it's ugliness. Okay? And there's a reason why even the Red Cross, which I would never support, but even the Red Cross, when they're out getting blood donations, will ask if you've had a recent tattoo, because if you had, they can't use your blood. Okay, now ask yourself a question. If the Red Cross, as greedy as they are for expensive blood, won't take your blood because of a tattoo, what has that tattoo done internally to you? If it's contaminated your blood to the point that a money-hungry organization like the Red Cross won't take it, what is it telling you? Is it good or bad? Be truthful now. Is it good or bad? Same thing with piercings. All right? Piercings. What good are they? You know what the good of the piercings and tattoos are? The enemy gets a chuckle down at the synagogue because you have voluntarily and even paid for marking yourself as a slave. Piercings and tattoos were a way to identify slaves in the old times. Okay? Just saying. Now, there might have been a few pirates and whatnot that got into it at some point for various reasons. We're not talking about them. They're a very minor subset of humanity, okay, of mankind. We're talking about in general here. In general, people shied away from because those were marks of servitude or even slavery. You got to remember, in the ancient times, they did not have a word different for slaves and indentured servants. They were all servants, meaning they were under somebody else's authority. It comes from the Greek word doulos. And children, by the way, were referred to as doulos. Wives were referred to as doulos because they had somebody in authority over them. Okay, it didn't mean slavery as we're told today slavery is. It meant that you have either voluntarily or involuntarily placed yourself under somebody else's authority. That's what doulos meant. And many times, if you were like a prisoner of war or whatever, and you ended up being the servant of an estate owner or whatever, you would take a piercing of the ear, the nose, whatever, or a tattoo as a sign of your being under that person's authority. So your enemy is mocking you when you run out and get all these tattoos. He's mocking you. You're paying hard-earned money to put poison into your skin and identify yourself as a servant. And the beast loves it when you identify yourself as a servant to this Antichrist system, this beast system that we live under today. Remember, in Scripture, when it refers to a beast, it's talking about government, okay? Government and beast are synonymous. Look at the way governments behave. Do they not behave like a wild, ravenous beast in the field? Absolutely. And that includes the United States government. In fact, we could be considered one of the worst to ever occupy this earth, to ever walk upon this earth. And we think we're the holier-than-thou righteous people. No, we're not. when you dig down the rabbit holes deep enough, you begin to see the nefarious activity of the United States government and military, and it's pretty sickening. Pretty sickening. Okay, I just got a Bible verse reference here. Exodus 21:6. Let's go there and see what that says. So give me a second. Exodus 21:6. Then his master shall bring him to Yahweh God, and shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. That's when a doulos servant was treated so well by his master that he voluntarily became a permanent doulos by putting a hole through his ear and then putting some sort of an earring in the ear. Okay, again, piercings and tattoos are indicators of servitude. And let's face it, most people in our society obey and worship the image of the beast. The flat screen images controlled by the beast system. I mean, let's face it, Google, we find out, was paid for by DARPA, a military defense apparatus. That's why they had the money to do the research and to get it all established. YouTube, same thing. It's all part of government spying. Email, the whole computer network thing, all government psyop. All government run is a way to voluntarily get you, through the convenience of it, to voluntarily give up your personal information. And then we just found out that that little spy box that's in your house, excuse me, and you can talk to it, ask it what the weather is. I mean, that's how lazy we've gotten. We don't even want to turn a radio on or even with remote control now. I mean, when I was a boy, there's no such thing as remote control. And now you got remote control, and that's too much work. You want to be able to just say, what is it, Alexi or whatever? What's the temperature? What's the forecast? Or how do I get downtown? Or how late is this store open? We're so lazy we can't even go to a computer or turn on another flat screen. And now we find out that, yeah, it's true what everybody said. Those boxes can be turned on remotely and listen in to your conversations. They may even have a hidden camera in them that you're not even aware of. They've got clever ways of hiding cameras today. So you voluntarily paid for a spy to be in your home 24/7, listen in on every conversation, listen to you, make love to your wife, make love to your boyfriend, whatever. Okay? You've invited a spy into your very midst. Is that not a coup for the enemy? Okay? Gigantic psyop. That's what we're in, a gigantic psyop. It's just unbelievable. But again, I'm going to get back to, Jimmy says here, Amazon is giving them away free. yeah. That's why a lot of this electronics, I've always wondered, since my background is in electronics, and I know the sophistication of it, I know the intricacy of it, and I've always wondered, how did they get the price down? I remember when I paid $3,600 for a Dell computer back in the 90s. That's a lot of money I shelled out for a Dell 386 computer. And now you can pick them up almost for nothing. And I've wondered all along, how are they doing this? It's called subsidies from the government, the black ops money, the money that the Jews come on screen like Zakheim and... what's the other one from the Defense Department? I can't think of his name right now. But they get on TV and go, there's $3 trillion. $3 trillion that we can't find. What? $3 trillion just poof, vanishes? Folks, do you know how big $3 trillion is? Now you know where that money goes. You got to make fake movies about landing on the moon and space travel. Okay, that costs money. You got to buy the best people, and you have to keep them quiet. So you got to pay them well. You have to make it financially rewarding and you have to threaten them with jail or fines or whatever. Well, most people will easily go along with that, okay? Now you got the money for developing all of these Monsanto inventions that are poisoning us in the world, okay? You also have money for buying off virtually everything, from Hollywood to sports figures, and certainly the developers of television, flat screens, HDTV, all the rest of these platforms. They just shower the shekels over all these clowns, and they'll be glad to do it. That's how come it's proliferated. It wasn't just that the market paid for it, because we certainly did. We spent hard-earned money buying this garbage, but that didn't pay for it up front. The upfront money came through the nefarious actions of the U.S. government in their black ops. And the same thing that pays for assassinations, as Cody Snodgrass, the former CIA contractor, says. He was offered $1 million to blow up the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. He personally was offered $1 million, and probably the rest of his team would have gotten $1 million each, too. And, of course, all the money to buy the explosives and pay off officials, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, he turned it down, and they turned on him for turning it down. Do you see the MO here, the modus operandi? It's the same all the time. Why did they want to unhinge our economy from gold and silver as the Constitution commands? Because you can't create untold wealth in digital world if you're tied to a currency, if you're tied to an asset like gold and silver. Okay, so they had to get rid of that. So now it's all digital. It's all crypto, digital. Steve Mnuchin, the Jew, just goes down to the basement of the Federal Reserve and, oy vey, Eldelson or whatever that frickin' kike's name is, he wants another $1 trillion or $500 billion to do so. Here you go, buddy. Yep, bink, there, I hit the button, chunk, all them digits now show up in your ledger entry. Okay, do you see how great it is for the Jew? He can literally buy off police officials, military officials, congresspeople, state representatives, advertisers, research and development centers. They can buy them all off. Christian businesses that were giving them competition, they just go in and offer them twice what it's worth, and most people sell out. And once they get a hold of it, they debase it. Have you ever noticed that there's a product that comes on the market and it does a really good job, and then a year or so later you realize that this isn't what I originally bought. It doesn't work anymore. Well, it's because the Jews buy it. They want the brand name because they know you're buying it because it worked, and they know they can debase it, drive the profit sky high, and then they either go out of business or sell it to some schmuck that comes along, and now he's stuck with the results of their debasing the product. And they skip town with all the profits. Now you know why China was built up. China was built up not because the Jew cares about Chinese. They don't care about anybody but Jews. Okay? They did it because China was going to be a way to increase profits, because they could get Chinese to work for pennies on the hour, like 80 cents an hour in China, making shoes and toys for the American consumer, who are complete idiots. I remember talking to my friends. I said, you know, China's communist, right? Yeah, what about it? I said, well, you're going down to Walmart, Kmart, Target. You're buying all this Chinese-made bullshit that's kind of inferior, actually. But even if it wasn't, I said, but you're putting out American kids out of work, American family-owned businesses out of work. Well, what do I care? It's cheaper. I had that conversation back in the 1980s. I said, well, the whole idea of tariffs is to protect domestic industry and businesses from cheap outside goods. That's the whole purpose of a tariff. People don't even understand that today. Something as simple as tariffs and what they're for. A tariff is so some Jew who's convinced Chinese to work for 80 cents an hour isn't allowed to ship his garbage into our country and drive our children out of work. So the tariff makes his product of the same value as the American-made product. So obviously, most Americans, if the price is about the same, are going to support an American business. But if you can sell it for 50% or less of the original price, Americans, like most people, they don't think with their brains, they think with their wallet. Well, you saved me 50%, so I'm going to buy the Chinese-made crap. You don't care that there's some poor Chinaman over there, slave, chained to a machine, working 16-hour days and kept in a prison. Have you ever seen the work centers in China? Well, not the ones that they show you on the evening news. Those aren't the real work centers. I'm talking about the prison camps, because that's what they're built like, where the people spend up to 16 hours a day working, and then they go to a cot. They're given three meals a day, and they go to a cell. It's basically like a prison cell, and it's surrounded with barbed wire, chain link fence, and barbed wire, just like a prison. They can't leave. That's how come they can get this stuff made so cheap. Oh, you didn't know about that. Oh, okay, that excuses you for what you do then, right? Again, I'm not trying to denigrate anybody. I'm just stating facts. This is the way the world is built, and it's wrong. That's all I'm saying. It's wrong. And we need to be thinking about this whole idea of the anointed one and his return. I don't think anybody's thinking about that, because we're really close to that period. Okay? Apocalypse, which is where we get the name for the book of Revelation, Apocalypse, everybody thinks it means the coming end of the world. That's not apocalypse means revealing. The apocalypse at the end of the age is the revealing of the truth, the revealing of Yahweh's anointed. Have you ever thought about that? Okay. What form do you think his anointed will take? What mannerisms will he have that will identify him to you? Have you thought about that? You should give it some serious thought, I'm telling you, folks, because I know for a fact most of you aren't. You're not thinking about it at all. You're just assuming that the Antichrist is going to create even more of a hell than we have already got, which I can't even imagine that. So you're not even going to worry about it because these other, quote, signs. And then you're going to be looking for a big puffy cloud with a great big loudspeaker that says, I'm here. Really? Is that how he came the first time? As I go, I shall return. How many people are thinking about that? How many people think about the fact that maybe he's already here? Have you ever considered that? I mean, even just considered it. What if he's already walking on this earth? What if he's already been talking to you through whatever platform? How would you know? What are the identifying marks of an anointed one? Because that's what he said is coming back. He didn't say verbatim, this, or this. And he said, judge people by what? Their fruits, their actions, their words. You don't judge them by their report card, their resume, the friends they have, how much money they have, what government position they have, what industry they run. No. You judge people by their acts, their fruits. That's why this present regime in Washington is not our friend. They're going through the motions. There's no real substance there. It's all symbolism over substance, as Rush Limbaugh would say. And then I just got this sent here, another reference. Romans 8:19 talks about the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. Let's go there real quick. Romans 8:19. So give me just a second. Let's see, Romans 8:19. For the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of Yahweh to be revealed. And there's other versions that list it's manifested as another way of putting it, waiting for the children or the sons of Yahweh. Well, who are the children of Yahweh, by the way? The whole world is groaning in expectation. Is it say that it's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of QAnon? Does it say waiting for the manifestation of Dare Donald, Herr Donald the Trump, as if he's some kind of a messiah? Nope, I don't see the anointing on Trump, by the way. You people say he's anointed, but I don't think so. I don't think so. If he can't even figure out who the Jews are, and you're telling me he's anointed? He hasn't figured them out yet? I'll tell you, I would look at, be very suspect of anybody at this point in the game that hasn't figured out the Jewish question yet. The fact that they're liars and deceivers. They're the enemies of all mankind. They are behind every destructive program, institution that we see in this world today. They're behind it all. They took over the Catholic Church. It might have started out okay, but it didn't take them very long. The Jews saw it coming to power, and they subverted it. And the next thing you know, we have the Jesuit order. And the Jesuit order was started by a Jew, admittedly a Jew. When the Inquisition came, the Jews feigned a conversion to Christianity to save from being executed, because Isabella and her husband figured out the Jews were behind a lot of things going wrong in Spain. That's what the Inquisition was all about, and that's why the Jewish media and the historians and the publishing houses will only let you hear about the Inquisition as if it was this great and terrible Christian thing that was just put upon innocent people to get things. No, that's what Jews do. The Inquisition was going after the Jews because of what they do. That's why they've been kicked out of every country of Europe at least once over the centuries, many times more than once. Okay, you need to wake up, people. So here in Romans 8, we see the whole world is in travail. It's in bondage. It's in agony under a Jewish domination. Look at all the world wars, all of them Jewish. All of them instigated by Jews and Jewish propaganda. That's a fact, okay? If you haven't figured it out yet, that's your problem, not mine. The evidence is everywhere, especially in this day and age of the Internet. Okay, back in the day, we had to learn by handing out copied sheets of paper, and when email came around, that was our first avenue to get pieces of information out to masses. Before that, fax machines were used. And before that, it was telephone calls and cassette tapes. Patriots used whatever form they could to get truth out there, but you had to get people that cared enough to pop the cassette tape into a player and listen to it. I'm going to tell you, it was a handful. It wasn't near as many as was needed, but it started the wake up. It started a movement of people saying something's terribly wrong. And now with the Internet, that awakening has increased greatly, just as the scripture says, that all things hidden will be made known. That's why they can't shut the Internet down, at least not yet. Yahweh said, I will increase knowledge, and I will reveal the hidden things. What's revealing the hidden things now? On a massive scale. Before, like I said, it was done almost person to person, or maybe three or four people at a time. Rarely did you have a group of 20, 25 people. Rare. But those of us back then said that we will wake Israel up if we have to do it one Israelite at a time. That was our motto. And that's exactly how we did it. If that's what it takes, those who speak the truth of Yahweh to the masses, then that's what we'll do. One Israelite at a time. Whatever it takes to win this battle, doesn't matter. So here in Romans, we're reminded that the whole world, and look at the news items, look at the YouTubes and the BitChute and DLive and all these different platforms. These truthers out there talking about the state of the world. Is the world not groaning? Okay, over in East Asia, you got people being cut apart, alive, without anesthetics for their organs. That's happening, folks. Just because in the comfort of your home, playing your computer games and mesmerizing about some fantasy you've got, There are people being cut apart alive over in parts of China and Asia. Doesn't bother you, does it? Oh, it's not happening to you. It's not happening to your next-door neighbor, so I guess I don't have to be concerned about it. That's funny. Adam was put here to stop that kind of bullshit. Excuse my French, but that's exactly what it is. It's BS. Okay? We, the anointed of Yahweh, were to stop that. Not 8chan, not Q, and not some fake Messiah sitting in the White House. Because in this amount of time, if that was the intention, it would have been done already. So once again, we're lied to. Because the true sons and daughters of Yahweh are comfortable sitting back thinking somebody else is going to get the job done. Sorry, but it falls on us. The men and women who know the true Yahweh living God. Who know truth, justice, and honesty versus the political figures. There isn't an honest bone in any of their bodies. None of them. None of them. They tell you they're there to drain the swamp. They're laughing all the way to the synagogue where they'll pick up their prize money. Okay? They're not going to drain the swamp because they're part of the swamp. They're just performers. They're actors. At least AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, admit that she's an actor or an actress. Maybe she is an actor. I don't know. But whatever, she's certainly not a statesman, and she's not very bright. But they offered her a chance to perform, which is what she wants to be, an actress, and they're paying her very well to do it. And so she'll do whatever her handlers tell her, like so many of them up there. The thing of it is, we're supposed to be able to figure it out. So here again, the whole world is sitting around, and it's not getting any better. The Satanism, the occultism, the sex slavery, the children being consumed and abused and murdered, it just goes on and on and on and on. And the perpetrators, have they come to justice? No. No, they haven't. And for these big-name traitors like John McCain, that he's dead? Is he really? How would you know? What proof do you have? He could be sitting on some remote island under a tiki hut, sipping on Mai Tais or rum runners, enjoying life because he did his part and it was time for us patriots to be thrown a bone. So, he was executed. He was given the choice, the pill or the bullet. And being exposed. Really? Can you see John McCain taking his own life, that misfit? Okay? As evil and ugly a heart as that individual has, and he's going to say, well, I don't want my family to have to go through this, so yeah, I'll swallow the pill. Here, give me the pill. Come on, these people are cowards. And they don't give a shit about anybody. And you're going to sit there and buy that they took the pill and ended their life rather than being drugged into the courts? Come on, folks. It's time to grow up. All right? There's no savior. There's no savior in the form of a man, let's put it that way, in Washington, D.C., that's going to save the day, especially when there's no fruit. Where does the scripture tell us that 8chan or Q or Trump or White Hats or whatever are going to save the day? Where does it say that? Where does it say the swamp is going to come up and rise up and do the swamp in? Where does it say that? Please, show it to me. I see Romans 8 and other verses that talk about his sons and daughters. Are you telling me his sons and daughters are in the Pentagon? His sons and daughters are in Washington, D.C., or in London, or in Paris? Is that where they're at? No, I think they're kind of hiding in the wilderness. They sure as hell don't get any positions of power. Okay? It's time to think, folks. It's serious. We're in a serious situation. And I don't think many people are paying attention. It's sad to say. Okay, Jimmy says that one of his listeners has a question on Brother Nathaniel. I put Brother Nathaniel in the same boat Dr. Henry Macau up in Canada, Benjamin Friedman, Rosenberg, and several other of Jewish persuasion that told a lot of truth. But you got to remember the old saying that Satan, the devil, will allow you to tell an ocean of truth as long as you let him float a lie on the top. Most of these people, like Brother Nathaniel, there's an ocean of truth in what he says. He's exposing the Zionists on everything I've ever watched him put out. But it's that little lie floating on the top that you need to be cognizant of. So when I use Macau and Brother Nathaniel for information, I'm assuming that the reader or the listener of the YouTube has enough sense to know that this guy is not of us. Therefore, take what he says with a grain of salt. It's like with a scripture in the New Testament where it says to accept all things and keep that which is good. I accept information from a lot of sources. They're not all identity. They're not even all white. That doesn't mean they can't be telling me truth. Doesn't mean they can't be telling me something that would edify me or help me figure something out. And Brother Nathaniel's in that category. Is he 100% right? Hell no, he's not. For one thing, he thinks the Jews are the Judahites of the Bible, much like British Israelism, okay? They got that wrong. Got that wrong. Go read The 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler, an Ashkenazi Jew, who spent years in research and wrote a textbook on the origins of these Khazars or Ashkenazi Jews, okay? Not one drop of Aryan blood in these people. Not one drop. Therefore, they cannot be of the tribes. So you've got to use discernment when you're using any source. And that includes me. Okay? Nowhere does it say in the Bible that you're relieved of your responsibility to search a matter out, to turn on your brain, turn off the distractions, turn off all this electronic crap, and go in prayer, for one thing. What is prayer, by the way? Prayer, in a way, is meditation. It's meditation and communication with the Holy Spirit to our Father. It's your time alone through the pineal gland, the antenna, the third eye within your body. Most people have eaten such crappy diets all their life, the pineal gland is practically calcified, which means it doesn't work. Talk to anybody that's an electronics whiz that knows anything about electromagnetic waves and radio transmission and even radar, how it works, and ask them what happens when the radar antenna is malfunctioning. Either the cable has got a kink in it or the radar element itself has been damaged by wind or storm. How well does the transmitter or the radar work when the antenna is busted? I was in electronic countermeasures in the Air Force. I'll tell you how it works. It doesn't work. In fact, if you try to transmit and the antenna's in bad enough shape, you can burn up your transmitter. Okay? You need to have a well-tuned, by the way, tuned antenna, not just some object. Every antenna has a certain shape and a size for a reason. Well, your antenna is your pineal gland. Some people call it a pineal, but it's named after the pine cone because it looks like a pine cone. So we pronounce it pine, pineal. So that's why I use the term pineal. And it's made of rods and cones just like your eyeballs are. Exactly. Rods and cones because it's picking up and interpreting frequencies, energy. Just like the light waves that come into your eyes are interpreted and turned into an image. All you're receiving is electromagnetic waves into your eyeballs. That's what's actually happening. electromagnetic frequency coming into the eyeball and going onto the rods and cones at the back of your eye. And your eye turns that into a signal that goes to the brain and creates the image that you see. What's the pineal gland doing? Same thing, only on the spiritual level. Think about it. Prayer. But like I said, you have access to the most powerful, loving, caring, sharing entity that ever existed, called a Heavenly Father. Everything he's doing is for your benefit if you let him. Okay? This world will offer you nothing but frustration, misery, torment, toil, poisoning, lying, betrayal. He offers you truth, justice, friendship, compassion, forgiveness. Do you want it? Open up. Get into a quiet space. Get away from all this electronic noise, because that's what it is. It's interference. It's exactly what I did in the Air Force. How did we stop the enemy from finding out where our bombers were? We jammed their signals. That's what I did. Electronic jammers would pound the enemy's radar system with such a high amplitude signal that all they saw was noise instead of blips on their radar screen, which was our bombers and our fighters. Same idea. The enemy is jamming your signal with nonsense called television programming, movies, actors, celebrities, sports figures, government talking heads, filling your head with noise, because that's all it is, noise. It will never accomplish a damn thing except confuse you, make you worried, make you afraid. That's the whole job. It's the whole job. Where Yahweh speaks plainly, simply. And you can go to your, the Bible talks about going to your closet, but that's a symbol. Basically, some place that you've shut the world out. You don't want other people to interfere. You don't want animals to interfere. You don't want the noise of this world to interfere. It's a quiet place. And there's a proverb, I think, that talks about the singing of joy and praise to our Father upon our beds. And I always wondered, why the bed? Why would it be the bed? When I was a father, young man, and I was a father, the wife was in bed with me, the kids would climb in there. I'm going, there ain't no quiet time in the bed. Then it dawned on me. That's in the modern world. How did men and women sleep in the ancient world? Did they sleep together all the time? No, Jacob had his own tent. He went to sleep alone. Okay? The wives went to sleep alone. You see, we've bought this modern concept of family life and marriage and relationships. That's not how the ancients looked at it. That's not how the children of Yahweh looked at it. Okay, the bed was for rest and relaxation, but it was also a place of devotion. And I've noticed that I, since I live alone and I sleep in bed alone, that's exactly what happens. I wake up and the first thoughts are of the Father. Thank you, Father, for a good night's rest. Thank you that I still have a roof over my head. And enter into a period of assessment and communication. Same thing at night before you drift off. Thank you for the day, for what happened, the good things that you've provided. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for teaching me the truth about my body and about food as my medicine, because my health is better now than it was 5 years ago. Why? Because my food is my medicine. My food, not pharmaceuticals, not poisons, sure as hell isn't vaccines produced by Talmudists who are the enemies of my race. Now do you know why they offer them at the drugstore for free? Why they use the propaganda to push you to get the vaccines? Why they are now pushing for government regulation? Because people are waking up. They're starting to walk away. So now they want to try to force government. But like I said, Washington, D.C. is illegitimate. Everything in that little cesspool is illegitimate, including the Pentagon. Illegitimate. No son or daughter of mine would go to war now for these people. I wouldn't recommend anybody send a son or daughter off to the military now. Have them join the local militia. Just like down in Venezuela, the Chavistas. The Chavistas are the local militia. And they're not controlled by a politician. In fact, they limit the influence of the church down there, particularly the Catholic Church, because they know it's a criminal element. Just like that town in Mexico that has kicked out the central banks, the central government, and the central churches. And who protects the community? Volunteer militia. So there's a city in Washington, D.C., in Mexico, 30,000 people have walked away from government, walked away from organized religion, walked away from the central banks, and have their own local currency, their own local economy, and their own local militia provides their protection. And guess what? They are living high on the hog, happy as larks. Iceland threw the bankers out. Did it hurt them? Well, last time I checked, Iceland's still doing pretty damn good. Okay, Ithaca, New York, and the 50 or 60 other towns across America that came up with their own currencies, local currencies, doing quite well, have been for decades. So do we need a central bank run by these Talmud thumpers? No. Not unless you want to be raped of your earnings. Okay, the central government under the control of the Talmudists, you got the IRS, are they for our benefit? Do they benefit us? Come on, be honest, do they? I haven't met one person yet that thinks the IRS is any good. Not one. And yet we still have it. Why? For 100 years, we've had this organization that does nothing but rape and rob businesses and individuals. Completely unconstitutional and against its own laws, by the way. How many whistleblowers have told us there is no law within government and there's nothing in the IR code, the Internal Revenue Code, IRC. Nothing in the IRC that identifies you and me as a taxpayer. Nothing in that code identifies us as being required to file a return. Nothing. But you see, the Jew never works on facts. He works on emotions and intimidation. And they actually train the agents on how to be intimidating and key words to say to you when they talk to you to implant that fear and that intimidation on you. They do it by training. Okay, I'm getting a note here. Something about the mayor de Blasio. As far as I know, de Blasio is a crypto Jew too. New York City Mayor de Blasio tells its citizens, "We own your bodies and we can force you to be injected with anything we want." My ass, de Blasio. And then Jimmy says here, "No, Mayor de Blasio, you do not own our bodies. And if you'd like to spend 5 minutes with me alone in a locked room, I can prove to you that you do not own my body, as I will be walking out of that room and you will be going to the hospital." Well, you know, it all gets down to what we accept. As one patriot told me many years ago, people will get as much tyranny as they accept. Okay? The world will have as much travail as they accept. Satan is not going to back off, folks. You know, if you've got this idea that somehow the swamp is going to fix the swamp, I got news for you. You need to do some serious communicating with the Father. Ain't going to happen. Now, they did a very good job in the beginning, because even though right after Trump got elected, I started pointing out some very negative things. For instance, giving Hillary a pass and even saying she did a good job. What? And Q telling me that dirtbag Dershowitz, the law professor from Harvard, another Talmud thumper, was a patriot? He didn't get the title Dirtbag Dershowitz for nothing. He's like Morris Dees with the Southern Poverty Law Center, another kike, dirty, traitor. Sure as hell not a friend of ours. All right, and then you're going to tell me Dershowitz is a patriot? Sessions should be trusted? Come on, folks. It's time to wake up. Again, we all wanted to believe. Because let's face it, it's a serious matter when it's time to get the rifle down from the rack and for the men to organize. That's serious business. Because some of us might not make it. But then again, is it better to die a death of 1,000 cuts? Or as the other saying goes, for the coward, the patriot dies but one noble death. The coward dies many days. Every day of his life from that point on, he dies, spiritually speaking, because he's a coward and he knows he's a coward. All right? That's why our ancestors had things like the Halls of Valhalla is what the Vikings were talking about, but they were our people. All of those gods that they talked about and the sayings and everything else were actually scriptural. Yeah, they used a different name because their language was different. But if you read the attributes of like Odin and all these other things that the Norsemen and all had, they're scriptural. The fact that the brave live forever in Valhalla, tell me that's not scriptural. Does Yahweh honor cowardice? Show me in Scripture where it's honored. Where fear is honored. Where obedience to tyrants is honored. Okay, did the midwives in Egypt do what the Pharaoh said and murder all the Hebrew, meaning the Aryan children, males that were born to the families? They were to execute them. The midwives, that's what they were told to do by Pharaoh. That was what Washington, D.C. and Mayor de Blasio told the midwives in ancient Egypt, the Hebrews, our people. You must kill the males that are born. Why? Because they threaten them. Just like the white male of faith is a threat to this Zionist-controlled government we have. Okay? Did the midwives obey? Well, what does your book say? No, they did not. They would go, they would help deliver the child, and they would go back and tell Pharaoh, well, we got there too late. He was already born, so we couldn't stillborn the child, because that's what they were supposed to do. And we got there too late. The child was born, and they had already taken the child and hidden him somewhere, so we couldn't find him. They had all kinds of excuses, but the point of it is they disobeyed a tyrant's command. They obeyed the living God instead. And they did so at great risk. If they had been found out, they would have been executed. But they did the right thing anyway. What did Stonewall Jackson, the general, say? Duty is ours. Consequences belong to God. What did General MacArthur, General Patton, General George Washington, many of the founding fathers said very similar words? Our duty is to do the right thing, including Scripture, by the way. Your duty is to do the right thing day in and day out. And let the consequences fall upon the shoulders of our Father. So our job actually is pretty easy. We just have to figure out what's the right thing to do. And is the right thing to do to turn over our children and ourselves, our bodies, to some government flunky to tell us what we have to put in our bodies? That should be your first warning sign that they're up to no good. Okay? What I would do is go get a syringe full of the most lethal and toxic vaccine that's out there that's doing the most harm, and I would strap de Blasio on a table and pump his arm full of that. Well, Mayor, lead by example. So let's take this syringe instead of the placebo, if you even go that far. There's been some of these morons like Dr. Oz that had a placebo put in his arm, meaning just water or sugar water pumped in and claiming that it was a vaccine, because even Dr. Oz, who's another Talmud thumper kike, admitted on an interview that he does not vaccinate his wife and his children. But he's telling you to go get one. Isn't that like a Jew? Tell me. Hypocrites, just like Luke 12 verse 1 says, one of the indications of the Jew is his hypocrisy. De Blasio, I want you on public television. Allow me to inject you with the serum, and I will make sure it's got the real deal in it, and I will pump it into your body, and then we get to watch what happens. Okay? I'm tired of you hypocrites. And I'm tired of people listening to these bastards. I'm tired of it, okay? White men of conscience and faith, it's our job. It's why we were put here. When are you going to be ready for that? When is Ezekiel 37 going to infiltrate your brain and psyche to realize that this kabuki theater out there is to convince you and me to not do what we were put here to do? Okay? Just telling you. So you got your homework. You have to figure out, what does anointed mean? You have to figure out what his second coming is all about. You have to figure out, what are you looking for in the Messiah when he shows up? What are going to be the traits that he will exhibit to tell you that it's the one speaking with authority from the Father? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself that. Okay? I got news for you. He's not going to come down on some cloud with a loudspeaker and rockets and fireworks going off to announce his coming. That's not how he's going to do it. Now, it does say, as the lightning flashes from east to west, okay? Symbolically, what is lightning? It's energy. It's electricity. You could even say radio frequencies and or digital current going across oceanic fiber optics is a form of lightning. Will he be announced? Yeah, his presence will be known by his attributes and you having enough discernment to know who it is. It's not as if lightning is flashing to say, hey, I'm here. The biblical truths are coming out over the electronic media if you have the ears to hear and the eyes to see, just like the disciples. Will there be faith upon the earth on my return? Why do you think he said that? Will there be faith upon the earth? I don't see very many faithful people, to be honest. I see them running after money, material, fame, approval. I see them running after government, little g gods, idols, to see that they can solve every problem we put in the government's hands. And yet the very term bureaucrat says that they act without intelligence. You can go to Webster's Dictionary and look it up. A bureaucrat, a public official who does the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. Excuse me. Okay? Is that telling you anything? The very word bureaucrat, we use it all the time, but how many of us ever looked it up? Because bureaucrats are exactly that. They're actors going through the motions, and they're well paid for it, and are often threatened that they don't tell the truth. So, are you going to trust your little G God government, your idol that you worship and bow down to and give reverence to? Or are you going to trust the living God? All these problems that we see, every single one of them could be dealt with probably within days. If the sons of the Most High would realize that we have to solve the problem, it's not going to be solved by a political system, a government, a banking system. None of those things are going to solve these problems. Ezekiel chapter 37 tells us. Obadiah 18 tells us. Ezekiel 25:14 tells us. Psalm 149 tells us. In fact, while we're at it, let's read that. Psalm 149. Praise Yahweh. Sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Remember, the saints is from the Greek word ecclesia. It means the called out ones. And called out by who? By Yahweh himself. Let Israel, Jacob Israel, a people, rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble. Do you even know what the word humble and humility mean? The humble with what? Oh, salvation. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds, meaning in privacy. May the high praises of Yahweh God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. You can praise Yahweh all you want, but if you don't have a two-edged sword, meaning a weapon, in your possession, I seriously doubt your standing with the Father. You see, it takes strength to protect your loved ones, not words. And people say, well, it's my faith. Really? Right here in the Psalms, it tells you, yeah, you're supposed to have faith, all right, but you're also supposed to have a two-edged sword. And Romans tells us what that's for. Ezekiel told us what that's for. And many other prophets told us what that's for. It's to do in the enemy. You don't strike the enemy because you hate them. You strike the enemy because you love the people you're responsible for. And these people would do harm to them. Mayor de Blasio is falling into that category. He is an enemy of the people. Verse 6 again, let the high praises of Yahweh God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. And here's why. Number 7, to execute vengeance on the nations, the countries, the governments, the bureaucrats, and punishments on the peoples, thugs, bullies, MS-13, drug dealers, child rapists, pornographers. To bind their kings, or you could say prime ministers, presidents, potentates, with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. That's basically handcuffs, shackles. Nobles. Who are the nobles? They're the ones in bed with the kings, the guys at the top. You could call them parliamentarians. You could call them congressmen. Same thing, nobles, just below the king, to execute on them the written judgment. Ah, could we say Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and others? All his saints have this honor, praise Yah. Whoa, all his saints, his called out ones, have this honor. And yet the Jewish media is telling you, you don't have a right to defend your life. You don't have a right to defend your family. You don't have a right to even protest what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians, or you'll be cut off financially, or worse. Now they want to make it a prison sentence to speak out about the Jew. Do you need any better indication of who the Jews are than that? And they know these verses that I'm talking about. They know that if we ever shirk our fears and our unwillingness to bend the knee and to come together as brothers, that the day we pick up our swords and we become a united brotherhood is their last days on this earth. They know that. That's why you and I are the target of their propaganda, their legislation, their media bias, and all the other things meant to keep us separated, divided, confused, and afraid. Because they know. They know their days are over. Their time is short. If we ever shake the dust from our heads and get in alignment with the will of our Father and decide that He matters more than even life itself, that's when He can open up the storehouses of heaven. And let me tell you, soldiers, something, you men of Yahweh. You assume that we're going to fight this battle alone. Many of you are saying to yourselves, but we're few in number and our weapons are not significant. Let me remind you of how King David, who the future King David, took down Goliath. Goliath had the latest armor. He had the biggest sword, the biggest spear, the biggest shield. In human terms, he was invincible, physically massive, muscular, stood head and shoulders above any other man on the battlefield, and his armor was the best made. David brought him down with one stone between his eyes. One stone sent in faith. One stone from a believer who thought that his God was stronger than the Philistine God, who thought his heavenly Father and his honor meant more than life itself, and that if it cost him his life, he would gladly give it. But he was going to take this giant down. And he asked for what? Yahweh's guidance. That he have a strong arm and a good aim. And he was blessed. Gideon, same thing. And his 300. Gideon and his 300 brought down an army much larger than theirs. And he didn't lose a single man. Stop thinking in the fear zone, folks. Start thinking in the overcomer zone. It's only our division that's stopping us from ending the nightmares in this world. The righteous know the answer to the problem. We know. It's simply following God's law. Every murderer is executed. Every rapist is executed. Every kidnapper is executed. Every child molester is executed. Everybody making poisons that are causing autism and death through vaccination is found guilty and executed. It's murder. Every judge who has obfuscated evidence that would find somebody innocent of a crime is guilty of murder. Executed. Every cop who lies on the witness stand is a form of treason. Executed. You want answers to your problems? Right there, I just gave you a few. Just those few would turn this world around in 24 hours. 24 hours of the news going out that Judge XYZ was just hung for treason in the courtroom, or that a lawyer lied and was hung, a police chief was hung, a patrolman was hung, a congressman was hung, a member of parliament was hung, a prime minister was hung, a president was hung for treason against mankind. Their office means nothing. People say, well, it's a active duty congressman or a president. We're not allowed. Who's not allowed? You guys in the swamp? You think we give a damn what you think? Our Heavenly Father says guilt is guilt. It doesn't matter how much money you got or what position you hold. Guilt is guilt. If you've committed murder, you die. If you sent men into harm's way and they died, you die. No prisons. Prisons are all torn down once we have all the traitors executed. Right now we're going to fill them up with traitors and kidnappers and rapists and treasonous people until we execute them. And then we can tear the prisons down. We don't need prisons. Nothing in the Bible supports prisons. Nothing. It's animalistic. Animalistic. Caging somebody up like an animal doesn't do anybody any good at all. Restitution or execution, the only two forms of judgment that the Bible allows. Restitution for non-capital crimes, execution for capital crimes. That's it. Simple. All you have to do is implement it. I'm ready to implement it. How about you guys? I'm ready to do it right now. I'm waiting for the men. Okay? It's actually quite simple. The fix is quite simple. Overcome your fears. Put on the armor of the Father. Okay? Go read the scripture that talks about the armor that he provides. And get into the camp where truth matters for a change, would you? The whole world is in travail. There is no doubt about it. In travail. And it's because we, his sons, don't have enough guts to do what we were put here to do. We don't have enough faith. That's why Christ said, will I find faith upon the earth on my return? will I find faith upon the earth? Where is it? I'm just a mortal man and I'm having a hard time finding it. True faith. I hear a lot of fear. I hear a lot of doubt. I hear a lot of heaps of praise and or reverence to the enemy because of their, quote, money, or they have more guns or better equipment. Really? Again, I remind you, so did Goliath. So did the Midianite army that stood against Gideon. It's kind of funny that neither one of them walked off the battlefield because they were dead. Will I find faith upon the earth? Interesting, interesting, interesting. So who is the real Q? You and I are. The people of faith, the people that honor justice and truth. They're the Q. The people that stood behind the whole Trump psyop. Because in the beginning it was very difficult to tell, but now that we've got 2.5 years behind us, it's obvious that it was a psyop. That doesn't mean the people that stood for where we go one, we go all are bad. No, they're the real Q. They're the people where the power lies. The people, always the people. The Founding Fathers said it. The Constitution said it. The Declaration of Independence said it. The Articles of Confederation, which, by the way, we should never have let them saddle us with the Constitution we have now. We should have stuck with the Articles of Confederation with a few amendments, maybe. Okay? All of them stated the obvious. And again, I'm going to remind you, he said his coming, he would be the anointed. You need to think about that a lot. What does anointed mean? What does it look like on a person? He's coming back in human form again, just as he did the last time. How will you know him? How will you identify him? And do you have the courage to follow him? Okay, there were many people that acknowledged he was a great man, spoke many truths, but how many dropped the world to follow him? Okay, will I find faith upon the earth? How many are willing to follow a righteous leader to change this world? I mean, really follow him. Not just the punch keys on a keyboard or make a speech or whatever, but I'm talking about actually follow him into battle. If the righteous sons of Yahweh are ready to do that, this thing can turn around in a heartbeat. And the other races upon this earth should support that effort. Those who bless Abraham will be blessed. Those who curse Abraham will be cursed. As it was then, so it shall be now. Everybody has a job to do. Nobody gets to sit on a fence. The fence is gone, in case you haven't figured it out. You're either on the side of righteousness or on the side of evil. So you figure it out where you're at, because that's a very important decision. Okay? Don't lie to yourself either, folks. Don't lie to yourself. But I need to attend to a matter here, so I'm going to go ahead and close it up unless somebody has something really urgent to report to the house of Jacob Israel. We'll go ahead and close in prayer. Oh, I do have a project going on. I was hoping to have it ready for now, but one of the folks on my circle of friends and communicators has asked that we develop a prayer to get everybody of faith on earth to pray at a certain time of day, like 9 p.m., let's say. And this is not a long-winded prayer, and this is not meaning you got to go somewhere and get on your hands and knees or whatever. No, no, no. You talk to the Father no matter what you're doing. It's speech. It's spiritual communication. So let's say 9 o'clock every night, whatever time zone you're in, 9 o'clock, so all around the clock there'll be groups of believers petitioning our Heavenly Father to bring about a jubilee. Simply that. Father, this world is in travail. Awaken your sons and daughters, that we might subdue the wicked and bring a true great jubilee upon this earth. Something as simple as that. That's all it has to be. We know it's a dirty job, but it's our job. It's what we were put here for. Help us, Father. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh, as Ezekiel said in chapter 37, that we might become a vast and mighty army, and that the wicked would be put to the sword and done away with, so that this world could know peace once again and bring about a jubilee, a debt forgiveness, and let us start over and live as men and women upon the land, as you would have it, instead of this beast system. In your own words, but to that effect, 9 o'clock every night. Think about it. Yahweh doesn't care about the verbiage as much as he does the heart. If your heart's in the right place, never fear talking to the Father that you have to be some great orator or have the highest vocabulary or whatever. You can't fool him, folks. He already knows what's in your heart anyway. It says so in the Bible. I know what you're going to ask before you even ask it. Well, how does that work? We don't need to know how it works. We just have to know that he understands who you are. We are as children. Even if you're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, you are still as a child in his eyes. Come to him innocent like a child. And just ask, Father, this insanity, this evil must come to an end. Please, whatever I can do, make it clear to me, and then give me the courage to do it. And if it means putting offenses to the side and joining with my brothers, then that's what I will do. And have those brothers look upon the men of that are worthy of it to be their leaders. And then go forth and do the job we were put here to do. And stop worrying about this system as if this system is a god. It is not. Jimmy says here, count me in, 9 p.m. it is. Well, hallelujah. Start. And again, it doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to mean you got to go somewhere and put down a rug like the goofy Arabs do. Like Yahweh cares if you're on a prayer rug facing east. I mean, come on. With the coming of the Christ, many things changed, folks. Tune up that antenna and get in touch with the Father. And just take a few moments, 9 p.m. every night. Just a few moments to say that you repent of any wrongdoing you've done. You need to get back with the Father. And please, please, pour out your flesh. Pour out your spirit on all flesh. We are in desperate need of a great jubilee on this earth. Desperate need. So, all right, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. John, yeah, I will give you a call as soon as I can. And we're going to go ahead and shut this one down for now. I got to run. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to speak to our brethren, wherever they may be found. We hope that you would open the eyes of your sons and daughters. But in particular, the sons, we are the ones that it fell upon to provide protection and leadership for our people, and we have failed miserably. I pray for that spirit to be poured out that would energize and innovate our people and get them to think righteous thoughts and to see through the lies and deceptions and to walk away from this whole Babylonian system. It's all a psyop. It's all kabuki theater. You are the only true thing on this earth, and the sooner we realize it, the better. Forgive us our sins, our weaknesses, and our foibles, and help guide us into righteousness. Help us guide us into repentance, Father Yahweh. And as we call upon your name and call upon putting this wicked system to bed and to rest, we do so with great faith, Father, and we trust that you will reach down and touch us, and also that there will be helps for us that we don't even realize because we're trying to do the right thing. Forgive us again, Father. I know we're not made of marble. Sometimes we fall for things, and We ask for forgiveness for that and the covering of Yeshua's blood over our sins and turn us into as white as snow again, righteously speaking. And as we go forward, Father, we always ask in your name also that you would protect us from our multitude of enemies that are trying to shut down truth and justice and to foist this diabolical system upon all mankind. And to you we give the glory and the honor, and we ask in Yahweh's precious name, Hallelujah.